Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 57 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka. Thanks for joining me again today on the podcast. I've got a guest, if you can imagine that. It's Dave Fallman from the Canadian University Shooting Federation. And Dave's going to come on and talk about the organization, what they do, some of the challenges they've had and had in the past starting up and whatnot, and how you can get involved. So really great program, and should make for a great story. So I promised guests, you know, a couple of podcasts ago, was unsuccessful in getting any just because there's been so much going on. We've had so much news to talk about, but I'm going to try to make sure that I have guests whenever possible. And someone on Twitter reminded me a week ago that they are waiting for a podcast. I am a week late. So to make amends for that, there will be a podcast 1 week from today as well. I've already started putting that together, and I have a guest for that one too. So there. Also on the podcast today, I've got Tracy Wilson coming on. We're going to make a couple of important announcements and chat about a couple of things that are going on. So all that and more right after this.
Once you lose rights, it's nearly impossible to get them back. Right now, there are politicians and bureaucrats working day and night to eliminate your ability to own and use firearms in Canada. They're talking about not allowing you to keep your firearms at home and even taking away the ones you already have. It's not a joke. It's not an exaggeration. Activism is a lot of work, and most people don't have the time. But something that you can do is support the CCFR. For $40 a year, you can be a part of the hardest working firearm organization in Canada and get $5 million worth of insurance. The CCFR lobbies government and works to improve the public image of gun owners through media and educational campaigns. Protect your own ability to own and use firearms before it's too late. Go to firearmrights.ca and click Why Join. That's firearmrights.ca.
All right, on the Skype, I've got Dave Fallman, and Dave is from the Canadian University Shooting Federation. How's it going, Dave?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for asking. So let's just start this off with you explaining to our folks, what is the Canadian University Shooting Federation and what's the mission?
So the Canadian University Shooting Federation was officially incorporated as a nonprofit in 2018. And we kind of formed from four initial schools that had firearms associations back in 2018. And kind of we had a trap and skeet team at Carleton University in Ottawa. We didn't have a league to shoot in. We didn't want to go down to the States because of the stiff competition. So we said, hey, let's band together with our fellow Canadians and create our own sports shooting league. So from there, it kind of snowballed, and we grew into an organization with three main objectives. First, to start gun clubs and firearms associations at universities and colleges across Canada. Our second goal is to help the existing clubs grow and expand, make sure that we can mentor the young leaders that are running these clubs, put in some best practices to make sure that they're running in the most efficient and effective way. And again, to do the sports shooting league. So we do trap, skeet, and small bore rifle. And we do it all in a way where the students go out to the local ranges, shoot their scores, submit them back to us, and we can declare the best rifle shot for spring 2020 in all of Canadian post-secondaries.
Awesome. So shooting clubs on universities. So what kind of challenges have you encountered trying to get this going?
So just the usual growing pains in terms of starting an organization, but more specific to the actual sports shooting clubs. There has been some biases in some of the student associations and schools that we've went to and tried to help these students start clubs. However, we've been pretty surprised. We've been able to get 14 clubs started in the last year or so, and we've only had three or four schools that have denied us, but with our own insurance, we've been able to get these students to start their own off-campus clubs and still organize and go shooting with their fellow students.
That's awesome. And where do you get club members? Where do you get people to try it out and join your club?
So ourselves, right, we don't actually run the clubs. So we just, like Reddit has been a good one, Canada Gun Nuts, coming on shows like this. We ask students, hey, we have all the tools, we have all the know-how to help you start these clubs, but you need to go into the actual student associations and start these clubs yourselves. But we'll help you every step of the way. We'll support you after you start the club, and just make the process as easy as possible.
That's awesome. Now, when the Carleton University shooting club started, that was the first one, correct?
Yeah, back in 2010.
Mm-hmm. And how did you recruit people to go shooting for that one?
So personally, I wasn't involved in the Carleton club right at the start there. I only actually started going to school in 2011. But I know the guy who founded it, he had a big success with going to the clubs fair right at where all the students congregate at the start of the year to kind of see what clubs are around. And the back of his head, he didn't think that it would be as controversial as some people made it out to be. And lo and behold, there's tons and tons of initial interest in the club, and that kind of got the ball rolling right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I think most people are surprised at the controversy caused by, their, I think, completely reasonable curiosity about going to shoot a gun or even talking about firearm ownership. And then you get piled on. So now do you have a count of members, or like how's the whole thing going?
It's been going great. We're looking at about 1,500 club members between all the between our 18 member clubs. We got another 7 or 8 clubs coming down the pipe where we're working with students and even faculty in some cases to help get clubs started. We're on our third season of competitions here. We're about to start up our trap, skeet, and rifle competitions for spring 2020. So yeah, things are really moving forward.
That's outstanding. Now, 1,500 members. Now, are they all current students or current students and alumni?
It's a mix of both. And even some clubs have the policy of allowing other non-students actually to join the clubs as well. But it's generally mostly, I'd say, 90% current students.
So do you talk at all about firearm education, or do you somehow look at PALs, or what's the other aspect other than the shooting?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. We are an education organization, along with being a sporting organization. And our clubs, addition to doing the competitions, they put on lots of new shooter days. Just, hey, come see what this is all about. We got, it's a cheap way to get students to come and try out a couple different types of guns. After those events, generally they'll have once a month or once a semester, depending on the size of the club, PAL courses going on. And again, right, they arrange the carpooling, they help subsidize the PAL courses, they make it as easy as possible for these students to get involved in their passion and in their sport.
That's awesome. And that's really important, just to get good information to people, get the truth to them. Because we're in an information war against people that constantly lie about, private firearm ownership and statistics and all kinds of things. So it's good to get people off the ground and not afraid of firearms and private firearm ownership and using firearms. That's a unique thing in Canada.
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest thing that I saw when I was at school, probably talked to 2,000, 3,000 students in the hallways during my time running the trap and skeet team. And I mean, most people were really open to coming to the range. Like 95% of the people that I talked to were like, hey, sure, I'd try that out. You explain to them what our laws are, how it's different from the states, and they're really open to it. So I think a lot of people are actually a lot more open than people give them credit for.
Well, I appreciate you doing that work, and I'm sure it was all volunteer, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, I appreciate that, Dave, because, you know, that's what it takes to overcome the tsunami of misinformation. That's being generated by certain groups and for the most part by the government and the media as well. So it's an uphill battle, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, it's my pleasure to go out and show people my passion and my sport, right? So nobody can really take that away from you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's fantastic work. Now, can people get involved? Can they volunteer? Can they send their students to you? How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so the best way, either reach out on social media on our Facebook or Instagram, or get in touch with us at info@cusf.ca. And yeah, the biggest thing that we're looking for is current students that are willing to start a firearms club. So if you are a student or you know any students, then send them our way, and that's huge. Other than that, I mean, we're always looking for more volunteers to help us in running our league and assisting these clubs. So, and I mean, if you're in the Toronto area, we'll be at the Sportsman Show, so you can stop by and say hello.
Oh, that's great. So you got a booth there?
Yeah. The Sportsman Show nice enough to actually donate it to us. So.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And the website one more time is?
CUSF.ca.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate you coming on, Dave, and hopefully anyone that's got a student, direct your student to their university shooting club, and if they don't have one, maybe they can get some people together and try to create one with your assistance. And yeah, just great job, and we really appreciate your work, Dave.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate what you do as well there, Ron.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, cheers.
Once you lose rights, it's nearly impossible to get them back. Right now, there are politicians and bureaucrats working day and night to eliminate your ability to own and use firearms in Canada. They're talking about not allowing you to keep your firearms at home and even taking away the ones you already have. It's not a joke. It's not an exaggeration. Activism is a lot of work, and most people don't have the time. But something that you can do is support the CCFR. For $40 a year, you can be a part of the hardest working firearm organization in Canada and get $5 million worth of insurance. The CCFR lobbies government and works to improve the public image of gun owners through media and educational campaigns. Protect your own ability to own and use firearms before it's too late. Go to firearmrights.ca and click Why Join. That's firearmrights.ca.
Okay, on the Skype, I've got Tracy Wilson. How is it going in Ottawa, Tracy?
Things are stable as it stands right now, Mr. Piltaka.
Okay, excellent. So we've got a few things we got to cover today, and they're kind of broad-reaching, strange things that will spur a lot of extra discussion, so we might as well get right to one of the more important things. The CCFR is canceling its appearance at the Toronto Sportsman Show. So
yes, that's correct.
You've got a statement from Jamie. Do you have that handy? Do you want to read it?
Yeah, just give me one sec here. I will read that for you. Of note, too, the Prime Minister's wife, it's just breaking news right now. The Prime Minister's wife is under quarantine as well as the Prime Minister. As Sophie came back from somewhere exhibiting signs of fever and... Yeah, so it's interesting. Okay, so here we are, folks. I'll read the president's statement. It says, the CCFR is a large member-run organization that relies heavily on our volunteers to present our mandate and spread our message as far and wide as possible. Opportunities like the Toronto Sportsman Show are critical platforms to help us achieve our goals. The potential reach to reach upwards of 80,000 people from our community in one show is always exciting and critical for both our growth and success. On Tuesday, March 10th, the Toronto Sportsman Show released a statement which underlined their intention to continue forward with the show based on Peel Region's assessment of a low risk for potential coronavirus COVID-19 infection. With the close interaction of people in a confined environment that is typical of any trade show, risk of infection from any virus or bug increases substantially. The airborne nature of COVID-19 coupled with the confined environment is especially concerning to me. Worldwide, steps are being taken to mitigate the speed of transmission. Social distancing, along with proper hygiene, have been two key strategies adopted internationally. While I accept the TSS decision to push forward, I cannot, in good faith, ask our volunteers and staff to attend the show and run our booth when there is any risk present. Their attendance at the show could put their health and the health of their families at an increased risk, and I am personally not comfortable with that. It is with great regret and an abundance of caution that I announce that the CCFR will not be attending the TSS 2020. Thank you in advance for your understanding. Jamie Elliott, President, CCFR.
Mm-hmm.
There we have it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's the right decision.
Yeah,
for sure.
It is.
Yeah, and we don't need to put our volunteers and our employees in harm's way. If Italy is locking down their entire country,
we should probably take notice.
It probably just isn't the flu. A lot of people have been saying that, and what's funny is I keep track of a lot of things, and I've been watching coronavirus for 2 months, and I've made my own decisions concerning that kind of stuff 6 weeks ago. Right. And it's wild, all the conversations that you have about that. You got some people that are like, it's nothing but the flu, it's absolutely nothing, it's overblown, you're completely ridiculous if you change your patterns at all. You have other people that are like, it's a global conspiracy to damage Trump. And it's funny because it's like there's this pandemic and people are dying, and I'm not concerned so much with the death rate. I'm concerned with the case complication rate, because a lot of people, and not just old people, a lot of younger people are having very serious complications. They need to be intubated. They need, mechanical assistance just to breathe and stuff like that. It's overwhelming the hospitals. But it's amazing to me how that can be political. Like every conversation I've had with it is like this, everybody's got a different explanation, and it's political. And, I think we can put the politics aside and say that it just represents undue risk to people that are important to us. And it's, unfortunately it sucks, but I think it's the right decision.
Well, it's funny because you look at what's going on around the globe, like Ireland's canceled, school. You've got the NBA has canceled their season. I know there's a massive international competition going on with Skate Canada. Well, it's not going on now, but that's also been canceled. That's the World Championships. That's an Olympic qualifier. Like, this is, events that people have been working for years towards for their career. And those have been canceled because it's just not worth the risk to put everybody in the same room. It's difficult because everybody knows I love these events and I love getting to communicate with our members face to face. I love being with my people. But at the same time, I don't want to expose our team to possibly transmitting it. And as well, I have to think about, even in my own situation, I've got an elderly father who resides at the Pearly Veterans Home here in Ottawa. This is a world-renowned facility. And the average age in there is 92. So imagine if I carried it without, I'm asymptomatic, nobody knows, and I bring it in there. I'm killing the most important people in the country. So, yeah, I think it is the right decision. It's difficult because I know a lot of people are going to be very disappointed, as am I. But these are extraordinary circumstances. So,
yeah. So anyway, that's the deal with that. Interestingly enough, between the blockades, which were you know, going to cause serious disruption in the country. And then, of course, you got this thing going around. I saw this coming a while back. In fact, I looked back at my Twitter feed and on February 16th, I mentioned, you know, I couldn't believe that that Bill Blair's still talking about gun control when he's got a, you know, virus raging around the world. And I think a few people were like, what do you mean? It's just the cold. It's just the flu, you know, and then yeah. And also all these supply disruptions and stuff and like serious issues going on in the world. And you know, he's still talking about gun control. Well, he's not talking about gun control now. So that's we may get a reprieve out of that as well. But you know what? In my opinion, I don't think anybody gives a crap whether he's talking about gun control or not, because even if they prohibited firearms, some firearms tomorrow, then nobody's turning in anything.
No.
So go ahead if you want. Nobody's gonna, you're going to be sitting there at your collection center pretty lonely.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Only a moron would turn in a gun under these circumstances.
Yeah.
But anyway, next thing, big news was our partnership with the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation. Mm-hmm. I would say foundation, and that's wrong. It's Federation. So if you're an SWF member, you can get a special deal, a advocacy-only membership to the CCFR. There's no insurance included because you already have insurance being carried through the SWF. And they're marketing our organization to all their members.
Yeah, this is a really great partnership. And, you know, we often talk about how we need some more unity in our community. And I think this is a great opportunity for exactly that. We've got a lot of concerns and issues and interests that overlap. And, you know, I know with the Wildlife Federations, their main focus, of course, is conservation. But only a fool would think that the firearms issues don't affect their membership. So they are very aware of that, very supportive of the programs and the outreach and advocacy that we participate in. And I think this is a fantastic partnership. And yeah, I had a great time out at their annual convention. Of course, this was all before the coronavirus epidemic. But yeah, they treated me like gold, just really awesome, down-home, salt-of-the-earth people. There's a lot of talk about Western hospitality, and that they definitely didn't fail. It was awesome. It was a great time.
Yeah, they're good people. Yeah. We were down there together putting this deal together, what, about 3 or 4 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I really enjoyed meeting those guys. And, yeah, I think it's going to be good. And they got savaged on their Twitter feed a little bit. Hopefully, you know, if you're involved in social media like we are, you understand that these big social media, you know, rage mobs, they only go for about 3 days, and then it's poof. All these people, all these trolls go back into the woodwork. But yeah, they got a few people came out and they're like, we can't believe that, you know, we thought you were about conservation. And it's like, you know, most people who yap off on Twitter or on social media, or I think in general, just don't know anything. Usually if you think things through for a little while, you probably understand. It's like, yeah, maybe I don't know anything about that topic. But who do you think pays for conservation in Canada? It's hunters.
That's right.
Right. And fishermen.
Yeah.
So that's where all that money comes from. So you really can't have one without the other. So anyway, it's great that we're definitely moving forward with that relationship. And I think it's going to help everybody.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, we've got a big country here. I'm looking forward to exploring the possibility of some other partnerships and advocacy with other organizations. So I think, you know, as long as we allow the government to continue to try and divide us into little subgroups of hunters and sport shooters and, you know, divide us like that, I think we'll continue to struggle. So this is exactly what they don't want, which is why it's really important to do it. So yeah, it's mm-hmm. fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Now, going back to the TSS, we had worked really hard on a sort of a mini project, which was our new brochure. Mm-hmm. They're going to be ready in time for TSS. That's the good news, hey?
Yeah, that's right. They'll be ready Monday. So
yeah. So anyway, look forward to when the show season comes back, whenever that is, whether it's a few months or 6 months or what have you. Look forward to a really interesting new brochure from the CCFR. In fact, it's
I wouldn't even call it a brochure.
Yeah, it's not. It's a little booklet.
Yeah, it's great.
And you know, just when you leaf through this thing, you really understand how far we've come in 5 years and what we've done, because there's a lot of information about what we've done there, and you kind of forget about all the things that we've done until you got to actually do a project like that to put something together. And yeah, it's really nice. Yeah. Can't wait for everybody to see it.
Yeah, me too. I'm super excited.
Mm-hmm. Now, the last thing I'll talk about real quick, or we'll talk about, is the project update. So the National Education Campaign update. It's been a lot of work and I'm behind, mm-hmm. but I said the 18th, the CCFR tries to, we talk a big game, and we almost always execute on what we promise. So I'm still pushing really hard to get it done on the 18th, or at least most of it, the parts that do need to be launched by the 18th. But look forward to that regardless of the fact that we won't be at TSS. I will still probably release a video. And also, I think I'm going to do a podcast next week as well. So I did, I was able to secure a guest for this episode, and I have a guest for next episode too. So I think, and that interview is going to happen, I think, tomorrow. So I think we'll do another podcast next week and fill everybody in on what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, and it's a great way to communicate at times like this when they're, asking people to try and work from home and, stay home. It'll give everyone something to listen to. And yeah, it'll be like our coronavirus episodes.
Mm-hmm. the corona episodes. Actually. Yeah. Let's leave it like that. I like that better.
Okay.
The corona. Yeah,
then you must drink a Corona while doing the episode. Yeah.
That's what I was getting at, Tracy.
Yeah.
I've had the coronavirus for years. I've been a carrier since I can remember.
Yeah.
Usually I'm carrying a 12 pack, but anyway, it's turning into a horrible comedy show that's going downhill fast.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, the project will come out next Wednesday as promised, which is the 18th. And you'll see what we've been up to. So
yeah, we'll find another creative way to sort of get it out there. And would have been nice to present it on the stage at TSS, but that's okay. We can actually probably reach even a wider audience by presenting in a different manner. So mm-hmm.
yeah, but I will be cranking away for the last 7 days that I have before that has to be due, including over the weekend. I got a bunch of videos as part of that project to make and whatnot. But we should have something to show. All right. Do you have anything else before we wrap up this segment?
Well, I know a lot of people have been asking me what's going on. Here we are. We're in the middle of March. We still haven't seen any doom and gloom out of the House of Commons. I think a lot of that is actually because the government's got alternate priorities right now, as well they should. I did see an announcement through iPolitics that the Liberals will be introducing their budget on March 30th. So we'll see what's in there. And just keep plugging away. So yeah, the opposition to bad policy continues.
Yeah. And, if you're in the business of opposing bad policy, business is a boomin'.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care of yourself.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for episode 57 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I really appreciate everybody coming back and listening to the podcast and sharing it, right? That's a big deal to share it and get the information out there. And I really appreciate everyone's support. So as I said in the intro, I will have another podcast 1 week from today for you with another guest, which is great. And I'm going to try to do them a little bit more often because I don't think I'm going to be doing as much traveling in the near future. And we're going out to events or whatever. And I'm hoping that'll allow a little bit more time for us to just hang out and focus on what we need to do. So if you're healthy right now, stay healthy. If you're not, I wish you a speedy recovery. This is a pretty interesting time. And, I wish everybody the best. Hang in there. And once this is all over, hopefully within a couple of months, we can all get back to what we're doing and making sure that the government does focus on more important priorities than prying guns from the hands of people that would go through the trouble of getting a firearms license. So anyway, as I said, take care, everybody. Hang in there, and we will see you in 1 week.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.